All right. Well, welcome,
all
everybody.
Right is right. Hello, Adam. Hello. Oh, hello, Adam.
Hello, Jack. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We have a special guest here today, Jack. It's special for a couple reasons. Not only because, you know, I've known Andrew for a number of years, but it's also special, Andrew, because you're our first guest since we've been out of the studio. You know, we used to have guests every, you know, maybe a couple times a month. And then when COVID hit, we went just virtual with the podcast, and we've held off on having guests until now. So no pressure at all being the first one on
our
official
podcast.
That's
a big milestone. That's a big milestone in the world of Dirty Secrets of Small Business and MVP. You are celebrity status. This is good. You're
going to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. Definitely.
So we invited Andrew to be here. Andrew Mangels is the, I forget the official title. You're the head of the Porter Public Library here in Westlake, the chief, whatever you want to, you can probably make up your own title, right? But he's basically the guy in charge. And we brought Andrew on. We wanted Andrew to kind of share not only his history and his experience here a little bit, but to talk about something that's very important to small business, which is market research in terms of how to do it a little better, but also how to tap into what we have found in our experience with small business as a very underutilized resource that's often in our backyards, which is our community libraries.
I never realized this, as will our guests here listening to this. I never realized the power and reach of the library. And yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing another conversation. I could talk to you many times. You know, you're just a real wealth of knowledge, say the least.
Thank you.
So we always like to kind of start out, Andrew, if you want to just give people a little brief background in terms of kind of where you grew up and how you kind of got to where you are to being the head of the Westlake Library, and tell everybody that you've dreamed since you were such a young child of being a librarian, right? That's kind of how the story went.
It's not that far off. Not far off. As I grew up in rural Missouri for the most part. I remember we were outside the city limits, so I remember standing at the stop waiting for the bookmobile, and I was always there early, first in line, and walked off the bookmobile with my big stack of books. Never really thought about being a librarian at that point necessarily, but certainly always enjoyed reading from a very early age. In fact, grew up on the east side of the state around St. Louis, moved to Kansas City to go to college, thought I was going to be a teacher, and got my undergraduate degree in education, thought I was going to teach high school social studies. But along that journey of my undergraduate degree, I had started working at my university library, the University of Missouri in Kansas City, took a job there, actually saw an advertisement in the campus newspaper and for shelving books. And my immediate thought, because this is what you think of when you think of the library, what a great place to meet girls. And so I applied.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, man, I do too. That's the way they should all be launched.
Well, yeah, so I worked there for 7 years. I got one date the entire time. And so I did wind up marrying her. And we've been married 28 years. And so it my plan worked out perfectly.
It's fail.
So those plans usually do work.
100% effective. I love it. Okay. It's a good strategy to be able to tell your kids about that. It's good. All right.
Yeah. And so as I was working there and finishing my undergraduate degree, I kept moving up through the library from a shelver to a circulation department to a supervisor to wound up working in the government documents department of the reference portion of the library, which was fascinating. The amount and breadth and depth of information the government puts out, and there's libraries that are depository libraries. Being a part of that was really exciting, believe it or not. And I learned a lot. And so because where I was going to school had a library program for graduate work, and I was able to go at 75% tuition reduction as a full-time employee, I'm like, that's the cheapest way to get a graduate degree. So I went to library. It's a kind of a weird thing to say, library school, but I went to library school and completed the degree and realized that I could still use my undergraduate degree in teaching every day working in a library and still make a big impact, because that's what I wanted to do, whether it was teaching or being in the library, you know, making an impact in my community. So I wound up thinking I was going to work at a college library. Instead, got hired at Johnson County Library on the Kansas side of the state line. And got a job in a public library as an assistant branch manager, was there for almost 10 years and thinking that I had a pretty good career, middle management in a nationally nationally recognized library system. Johnson County Library is a fabulous organization. And somebody recommended and said, hey, there's this job, library director up near Cleveland. So I say to my wife, hey, you know, there's a great job opportunity. And she said, well, I hope you and your new family enjoy Cleveland. And I said, you know,
not uncommon. We hear that often.
Yeah. Yeah. She wasn't terribly excited. But then I said, well, let's give it a try. Let's see what happens. I interviewed. Long story short, a few months later, my family and I moved up here to the Cleveland area. That was almost 15 years ago that we moved from Kansas City to Cleveland. And we really haven't regretted it. It's been fantastic. Cleveland is a wonderful place. All of the people we've had come visit us say the same thing. Great place to live. Great place to raise a family. We've really, really enjoyed it here. So that's kind of how I wound up getting to Cleveland, taking the job of director of Westlake Porter Public Library.
Awesome. You know, it's interesting. Thank you for sharing that background. It gives people good perspective. As you're sharing the story about the wealth of information that the government puts out, it's making me think about Jack. You know, one of the companies Jack bought in his career is a forgings company. And he tells a story often about he's trying to do some market research on forgings, right? And he said there's all these different departments of the government. And, you know, he called the forgings department. He found it. Where'd you find it, Jack? You found a listing somewhere for this?
It was the Census Bureau or Department of Commerce. I can't remember where it was. Like you say, there's so many resources available. But I was right in the middle of something, and here I found this number for a forgings department. I don't know what area of the government research area or archives I was in, but I called the number, and a guy answered it. And he answered just like you would at the time call somebody at home. You know, they pick up the phone, and he answered it. He said, forgings. And I was stunned. And so I said, look, I'm looking for some information. I said, I just bought a forging company and blah, blah, blah. You know, I kind of gave him a little background on it. And he said, well, you came to the right place. And it was like, it wasn't like a government discussion. It was some guy down the street that I called up to get some information on. And we ended up talking for hours. Nobody ever calls this guy, like the Maytag repairman commercial, you know? He was so happy to unload, and he had so much good stuff for me. It was just unbelievable. So I have a healthy respect for the archival monsters that are there. They're good stuff, really good stuff.
Well, it's really interesting. A lot of people just aren't aware of the amount and the type of information that the government puts out. For this audience, I don't know how many people remember, I believe it was back in the 90s, there was a guy called Matthew Lesko, and he would do these commercials where he had this audacious suit with dollar bills all over. Matthew Lesko, I believe it was InfoPower, and he was basically selling. So the government had a resource called the Catalog of Federal Domestic Assistance. And basically he took that, it was government information. It was public domain. He would take that stuff, repackage it, and then sell it. Or you could walk into your, you know, library and get access to it that way without paying for it. So there's a lot of great stuff out there, but the key is, how do you find it? And that's what libraries are for. Libraries, librarians, that's what we do. Tons and tons of information. There always has been. It used to be mostly in print, now mostly electronic. But it's like anything else in life. You know, when you have somebody who can help steer you through the vastness of it, we can oftentimes really lock you in. I was telling Adam and Jack a story earlier about it. I was helping somebody on the floor one time. They were frustrated about looking up travel information. They were online trying, you know, what site? And I get all these ads and I can't. It's very frustrating. And I handed her a 2020 Fodor's Frommer's travel book that had phone numbers and websites and things that, wow, you know, sometimes we forget that the paper book is still, you know, a great source. And it's a matter of focus sometimes. That's one of the things libraries offer.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things I think we shared at lunch. We talked about this, you know, as Jack and I left our corporate worlds to come, you know, focus more on the small business world, Andrew. We talked to folks early on. We mentioned this word that was just, it was second nature to us of market research. And we talked to small business owners about market research. And the response that Jack and I would often get was that kind of deer in headlight look, like, what are you guys talking about? Right. And we're like, what do you mean we're talking? Like, how do you figure out stuff? You know? And so, you know, Jack would give an example, like his forging stories, or I would describe my time in Wall Street of, hey, you got these, you know, institutions that print reports about different industries and that, and you can pay for that stuff. Or so, yeah, you can do your own, you know, your own research and stuff like that. And, you know, typically being, you know, very frugal, as most small business owners are, they don't want to be paying for research. It's okay. Well, look, there's ways to go search for stuff. And yeah, we have the proliferation of all these smart devices, right? But I think many of them have made us dumber in terms of what's kind of going on, or the fact that information is there. To your point, well, how do you find this stuff? And you said, look, hey, folks, guess what? You have professional market researchers that are right in your backyard. And they say, really? I said, yeah. Well, where do we go? He said, how about your local library? And it's, again, deer in headlights look. Like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, I would go there for story time when I was a kid, or bring my kids there. Well, yeah, there are other parts of the library in terms of what's going on. Oh, there is? So I think, Andrew, I think most people don't even, it's not even coming across their mind of the idea, hey, even a phone call, or just to walk in for 5 minutes to talk to a librarian, just explain, hey, here's what I'm looking for. To your point, your example about the travel guy is great. It's like, hey, don't waste time on the website. Here, all the answers are right here. I there's a book for it. And it's like manna from heaven. Okay, it's fantastic. So, you know, so how do we encourage folks, you know, to get out of their own way, to come in and say, hey, you know, just go, you know, is there a certain person that they should ask for, or the things that they should avoid? I mean, it's okay to come in and say, hey, like Jack calling a guy like, oh, like, I don't know what to ask, but hey, you're the foragings guy. You must know a bunch of information. Hey, you're the library. You guys must have the information I need, right? Or at least can point me in the right direction, I guess, right?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that we're good at, to use an industry term, you know, we call it the reference interview. So somebody comes in, and I used to teach a class called What's the Question? Because a lot of times people come in and they ask you a question, but that's not really what they want. They don't really know how to phrase it. And that can be frustrating unless you're working with a great librarian who can get figured out pretty quickly. So they may come in and they're asking about, I'm looking for your books on history, you know, something that seems, well, that seems pretty obvious, seems pretty easy. And you go, oh, well, they're over there. You could do that. Or you could start asking some questions and find out what they really want is the background on a particular company for historical purposes. Well, that's going to be in a totally different area. And it's, you know, if people don't even know where to start, they need that help, and they need somebody who's going to be open to that and work with them and not get in the way, but actually be helpful. And I think sometimes in libraries, we kind of, like your earlier example, Jack, we love doing that kind of thing. You ask a simple question, we're likely to give you a stack this big.
Absolutely.
The difference is going to be that those sources are going to be things that are going to be generally reputable, you know, that have been vetted and are credible sources. Usually you're going to get a librarian who says, if they give you a piece of information, they're going to verify that maybe in two or three other places that it isn't just, you know, Fred's website that said this. You know, we're going to look at where the information came from. Can it be verified another place? And those things, I hopefully give people a peace of mind. They're getting good quality information.
Yeah, what's good too is, you know, I have a couple high school kids. Well, one just graduated, but the other one's still in high school. And it was interesting. One of the classes they were teaching as a freshman was to help them understand what's good information or not good information, or what's a quality website versus not. Because I think, yeah, most of us like, hey, you know, I just go and I Google it. You know, hey, it's on the internet. It must be good. Or, you know, to understand, well, here's how you define what credible sources are. So I guess there are so many rabbit holes for us to go down these days, Andrew, that, you know, at least to kind of direct me to the right ones to kind of start digging in versus, you know, it's the eighth rabbit hole I dig in versus it could be the first. If I'm going to your point, that's a great background in terms of the reference interview. What's the real question? That's great. It's like people come in talking to their doctor. What's the real problem people are having, right? So to get those things kind of figured out is very, very, very key.
Who uses the library, Andrew? Their demographic, I'm sure you have demographic profiles that talk about big users, or maybe, yeah, you don't. Sure. I don't know.
The typical library user is, you know, someone from age 0 to 99. We see it all, and we see it for so many different reasons. The demographics of the library truly are everybody, and it's Westlake. In Westlake, and I, your listeners probably don't want to get too bogged down in how libraries are funded and the intricacies of why you know, Westlake is independent of this library necessarily. But I think it's important to know that every library in Ohio, every public library in Ohio, gets some level of state funding. And that's important because that means you can go to, if you're an Ohio resident, you can go into any library and get a library card today. So if you happen to find yourself down in Cincinnati and you're going to be there for a week and you want to get a card at Cincinnati Hamilton Public Library, you can do that and use their resources because every library gets some level of state funding. So that means that Westlake Porter Public Library isn't just for Westlake residents. We see people from North Olmsted, Avon Lake, you know, just like folks from Westlake will use County Library or some of the other ones as well. We all have something a little different to offer that makes us unique. So we see everybody, Jack. They come in for, some people come in, they stop in regularly. One of the interesting reasons why people use our computers, their printers are broken, right? So they might have this device at home, or they might just use their phone all the time and they really need a document. So they come in and they can print at the library. That's a big use. Conversely, we have some people that don't have the means to have a computer or certainly pay for online access. So we get into that area of, time and again, we see people working on their resumes, doing job searches, and they need to do that at the library. And then they have an email account that they can sign into, and that's how they communicate with trying to find jobs. And we routinely see people who thank us because they were able to get a job using the resources at the library. So we have people who are looking for work. We have people who are starting businesses or have a business, and they come in and they research how to grow or expand their business. And then, of course, the whole range of families for story times and all the different ways that people use their public library. And that's a key phrase I want to use, is your or their public library. I get that a lot out in the community. People say, hey, I really love your library. Not mine. I mean, it is. It's ours. Right. And I think it's important to remember, we say this a lot and we hear it a lot. Hey, go to the library. It's free. Library is not free. You have paid for it. It is a resource that you have paid for. And so I encourage people to get their value for what they paid for. You paid your taxes. This is an institution that belongs to you. I encourage you to come down and take advantage of it.
Now, having flashbacks, you're describing all the folks that are using the library, Andrew, as you're mentioning that, like, hey, I got one person here at a computer who's putting together her resume to try to find a job. And you have the guy next to, you know, to her is a business owner looking for somebody to hire, but they're also there doing some research. And right. There was a commercial years ago, it was a banking commercial where they're passing hot dogs along at a ball game or something like that. It's like, hey, the same thing.
Yeah.
Here they are, right? So the idea is that, you know, hey, you know, maybe it's a new recruiting tool, Jack, for maybe we should tell our owners to go hang out at the library for a couple hours a week and just kind of see, hey, where's the resume writing section? Here's what's kind of going on, and maybe they can find some good people that way. I mean, again, you got to hang out where the people are at, and the fact that they're showing the gumption to kind of get up and actually go to the library. You know, again, they're showing some good stuff here in order to kind of go do that.
If I may, we have this publication that comes out every other month. Our newsletter notes, it gets mailed to every household in Westlake. If you don't live in Westlake, we can send it to you electronically. And one of the programs that, that we will be doing is a program, related to careers. It's called, Networking Basics. And the quick description is, applying online all day is not the answer to finding the right position. Most likely you'll get your job from someone you know now or someone else. Learn tips to learn how to network the right way. So this is a class that we're offering to help people who might be a little stuck in the job search. And this is a great opportunity for people. Now, this, we're still kind of in our Zoom programming phase, but this is the kind of program that normally you'd be able to, and as we move along, it'll be back in the library, but you can log on to the Zoom and learn some of these ways to network and connect with people. So the library is more than just checking out a book on how to make a resume. There's programs, classes. We bring in experts that can help. Cynthia Wilt is somebody in the community who's helped us tremendously with some of the career development stuff. And this is just an example of that. That program's on June 8th from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. So people can go to our website and sign up for that.
That's interesting. A lot of business owners could use that kind of a class too, Andrew. But you know, as you're mentioning again, that's you didn't say the word, I don't think, but it made me think of the word community. You know, the community feel. Again, to your point, we've got all different folks who are here, and folks just aren't tapping into it. And before I forget too, as you're mentioning that kind of the network of public libraries that people need to be aware of. And to your point, it's maybe different in different states, but it isn't just the library in your local region. It's, you know, there's throughout the area. there's also things that, that people maybe don't know too, which is, you know, like state universities. So I know that's true in Ohio, but probably other state universities too. And if you live in that state, again, to your point, Andrew, well, you pay taxes in that state. So you can actually go in and into a university library and they can help you. And so that might be more interesting too for, or interesting as well for some of the business folks too, in terms of how they might start to kind of use some stuff, right? So let me kind of, you know, jump into that real quick. Cause I think, you know, a couple of areas where people often will look, and it was interesting too, because you told a story about how you guys use using some of your databases, Andrew, right? Because you were looking at, you know, folks are selling lists of different things. And you said, well, wait a minute, why are we going to pay folks over here to do this? We have access to databases here. So I know one of the things that many owners are looking to do, Andrew, is to grow their company, which, you know, which starts with, hey, trying to find more customers. And so there are some pretty good resources that are available to kind of start with at the library to kind of do just that. So can you talk a little bit about kind of what people might want to do to try to find more customers by using the library's resources?
Yeah. So what are probably our number one tool for business? I was going to say a database. Our number one tool for business research is we have a person. It's always about people. We have a business librarian, Sue Provenzal, who if you want to start with a person, start with Sue, and she can give you a lot of help and guide you in the right way. But we also have a database that you can, with a Porter Public Library library card, can access, which is probably our most powerful tool that a small business owner can use. And it's called Reference Solutions. It used to be called Reference USA. So what some of the things that you can do, let's say you're interested in, you want to start a car wash, or, but as we say in Missouri, a car wash. If you want to start a car wash, and so you're starting to do some market research. And so you can go into this database and you can search by zip code. You can search by SIC code. You could put in that term, limit it geographically, and start to plot out where, how many car washes there are and where they are geographically. So you can get a sense of where there might be an opportunity. You can, if you're doing any kind of business research industry, search by SIC code. You can limit by number of employees, sales, all these different features to generate these lists of companies you might be interested in. So it has that feature, but it also has another feature. And at the library, we were looking at how do we start to reach out to people who might've just moved to Westlake, and we want to let them know that we're here, come get your library card. And we were kind of thinking of the welcome wagon concept of getting them, you know, right when they move in. And this product, Reference Solutions, actually has a mailing list feature, where our new resident feature, where you can go in and again, by zip code, you can limit it by 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. So for our purposes, we can say in the zip code 44145, we want to know new residents in the last 3 months to generate a list so we can send them a postcard and say, here, you know, your public library is here. And when I say it doesn't cost a cent, you've already paid for this. You paid your taxes. This is a database that is available to you. Take advantage of it. And you can then take this list, export it, you know, dump it into an Excel spreadsheet, use a mail merge, you know, send it on out to folks. It's a really powerful tool if you want to do some direct marketing or target a particular area.
Andrew, you had mentioned SIC codes. Our experience has been where most small business owners don't understand what an SIC code is. So right. When that term is used, it whizzes right by them. But that's one of the single biggest numbers that you can really create a heck of a good marketing program or any kind of basic research. Why don't you take a second or two and just explain what an SIC code is?
Yeah, and so this is, for a librarian, this gets really wonky and kind of fun. It's a controlled vocabulary that really helps in the long run, helps you standardize your search. So if you are looking for the restaurant supply industry, and you're not really sure what terms to use, an SIC code is a code that is a very specific to a particular industry. So you don't need to know that to use these databases. It will allow you to do, in some outdated language, I believe it's called a yellow pages search, because who even knows what a yellow pages anymore, right? There's no such real thing as the yellow pages. But what you can do is you can type a term in and it might not be the right one. But what the program's going to do, it's going to come back and let you know what these official headings really are, and they can get more and more specific as you go along. So it might start out restaurant industry, and under the restaurant industry, it might break it down to restaurant equipment, and even more specific than that. And then it will find companies that manufacture or do business for that very specific thing. And once you kind of see it, again, you don't need to know them. You don't need to know, it'll guide you through it. And then you can keep kind of refining your search by saying, wow, the first one, restaurants, brought back 10,000 results, but there's all these other subcategories, and you can look up and down the list and say, that's what I want. That's what I want. And it will start to limit it for you. And if it's the kind of thing that makes you think, ah, that sounds kind of complicated. Did I mention Sue Provenzal? Sue Provenzal is our business librarian, and she's an expert. But if she's not here, our staff is trained to do that. Any library you walk into, you're going to get quality help that will kind of show you and walk you through how to do this database. So it's just a way of refining your search and getting specifically to what you want, instead of trying to do a messy Google search that is pulling in. You know, when you do a search and you get a million results and you wonder, why did it pull those back? There's always a reason behind the scenes. And if you're not sure how that works, it can be frustrating. Reference USA will kind of show you up front. You did this search. Here's the headings that are related to that. And then you can just pick them, and it'll automatically kind of help you narrow down where you want to go.
Very good. Very good. Well, yeah, that's a great tool. I've used it many times through the years. I'm the furthest thing from a technical person you're probably going to meet. Those things intimidate me, but using SIC searches, no. I mean, it's very user-friendly. The whole concept is wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, the one of the key messages that I'm hearing, and I want to make sure our audience is hearing too, which is it's start with the librarian. Start with the librarian. That's the place to start, because they're problem solvers. They really are. And they like doing this stuff. To your point, they like to kind of figure this stuff out. They enjoy it. While it might be a pain in the butt to you, as an owner or somebody, whoever it might be, these are the folks that's what they want to do. They're trained to do this stuff. And so they get joy out of it. So they're there as a resource that we're all just, I think, often missing. So whether it be like, again, as you're giving some great examples there, Andrew, in terms of, if you're looking to start your company, there's ways to kind of get that figured out. And hey, is this a good industry to get into in terms of, is there an opportunity here? And just understand what's kind of going on. If I'm looking for different customers, whether it be individuals, like you said, I can find folks, the residences. I can do the same thing looking for companies, right? So there's a lot of things that are there, but if it's not available at the library that you're at, if you haven't talked to the librarian, you're going to walk out very disappointed, because you're like, well, I tried and it's not there, versus, hey, you start the librarian, they'll say, well, here are the four things to try here. And meanwhile, while you're doing that, he or she will probably be in the back checking out some other stuff. So, okay, by the way, I also found these other 20 resources, right? And if I don't stop you, they're going to keep on going and say, wait, is that enough? Is that enough? Do you want more? And that's very similar to the experience Jack had with the forgings guys he's described, because he said this guy hadn't talked to a soul in probably months, right? And so he was happy to give me anything, everything. And he'd been there for 30 years. So he had a bunch of stuff in his head too. So it's like he wanted to share it with people, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happens, is we have our librarians who want to share all this stuff. And we're just, I don't know if we're too chicken, we're too intimidated. Again, it's just, let's go in and ask questions. We're, if we're afraid to be, I don't know, dumb, whatever it is, but go start with the librarian. And I think to your point, if there's a business librarian, ask for that person. If not, again, they're all very trained professionals that kind of know what they're doing. And look at it as an extension, I think, of your company. This is an extension of your marketing department, and it should be part of the community that you start to kind of get involved in. I'm curious, because it's impacted everybody, Andrew, what's happened here the last 15 months with COVID. And so it's obviously impacted you guys as well. People don't think of you as a business, but you're absolutely a business. You guys have, I forget, you said like 90 employees. I mean, you're a sizable organization, right? So when COVID hit and you have people that still need stuff, so what are some of the things that maybe have happened here in the last year or so that you've seen that you think might be kind of here to stay for you guys? We found ways to connect with folks maybe we hadn't been able to before, but now as technology is coming aboard, you mentioned Zoom before, so it's like you guys are probably doing some Zoom stuff, but talk a little bit about kind of what's maybe available now for folks who are maybe trying to get back out, or maybe they want to tap in virtually.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest takeaway from this, you kind of hear the term, I'm Zoomed out. And that's true. I mean, people are on Zooms a lot and they're tired of being on Zoom on one hand. On the other hand, particularly people who maybe aren't, who are retired or aren't working and aren't Zooming as much, Zoom has been fantastic. And we absolutely are going to continue to use that technology. So a good example might be, and I'm going to use it to promo another program. It's called the Investor Interest Group. This has been a program that's been going on here for years. Very, very popular. The investing topic is just, our community really likes that. We've always had a lot of really good attendance at that event. And on June 21st at 7 p.m., there will be a Zoom meeting for the Investor Interest Group. There will become a time where that group will go back to in person. However, because it's 7 o'clock at night, and let's say the next investor interest group is in October or November, and it's dark out and it's cold, and you've got folks who say, boy, I really like to participate, but I don't get out. I don't drive when it's dark, or, you know, for whatever reason, to be able to have a hybrid meeting where people can still join this meeting without having to actually physically come to the library is going to be huge for a lot of people. And what we've seen is people have really liked that opportunity to even though they still like in person, and a lot of people want to come back and will, there's a lot of people who are like, you know, it was really convenient for me to Zoom into that program. I think that's going to be the biggest keep that we got from this pandemic is our hybrid programming. And there will be some programs. I think we have a book discussion group that the group really liked meeting virtually, just sitting in the comfort of their own home. And, you know, one thing they can do when they're at home, when they're not in the library, is maybe have a glass of wine with their book. And so they might want to prefer to stay at home and but still participate and reach out. So I think that that's going to be a big part of our service model moving forward is the hybrid technology. And as people aren't Zooming all day, every day, like we have been, I think they'll be more agreeable to the occasional Zoom with a library program that will be very convenient for them.
Makes perfect sense. I agree. Just a discovery process. And
you know, one of the things that I'm going to get a quick plug in, because Adam will appreciate this. I got to bring Rotary into it. I've got my Rotary shirt on. Our Rotary, Westlake Bay Village Rotary, meets 7:30 a.m. every Wednesday morning. Well, since we started meeting in Zoom over the past year, our attendance average has been way up. It's been way up because for a lot of people to attend Rotary means driving to wherever Rotary is, you know, the meeting, and then driving to work. And you lose a lot of time doing that. But week in, week out, when people can join Rotary for the 1 hour time period, we've seen our average attendance increase. And I think that's going to apply to library programming, where if it was in-person only, who knows, maybe we get 15, 20, 25, 30 people come into the building. But in a hybrid environment, you know, we might get 40, 50, you know, people. We also have the opportunity to archive some of those programs. So people who might have said, well, you know, I was busy that night and I missed that content, that they'll still be able to get that content without us necessarily having to reschedule it 4 or 5 times.
Well, I could also see some collaborations happening too, as you're mentioning the network of libraries that are out there where you can cross promote different programs and, mm-hmm. you know, hey, we're gonna have the program. It's not, you know, we're co-sponsoring it with somebody else or whatever. You know, you're tapping in those audiences. Hey, you have a chance to see things that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. You know,
you're not limited to a local speaker. Yeah.
Right.
You can bring somebody in from, yeah, you know, without having to pay to bring them in from another city or state.
Right. Okay. This has been tremendously helpful, Andrew. I mean, again, you know, part of why we wanted to bring you on is we wanted to give people a sense of, I think it's, again, it's one of the most underutilized assets that we're aware of. Right. And, you know, Jack and I try to talk about, you know, as much as we can, but we aren't the experts there. And I think the key messages here are relook at your libraries, you know, get in touch with your local library, understand what's there, understand what they can do for your business, because they can do a lot of very, very good things for your business. And again, it's not necessarily you having to do it yourself. They might do stuff for you that they'll kind of point in the right direction, and they will certainly help you make sure that, again, come back to that rabbit hole thing, you're digging in the right rabbit holes, or at least kind of let you know, here are the ones to be maybe searching around versus the ones you've been wasting time on that are frustrating you or giving you the wrong information. Here's how you kind of do stuff. And to help, the thing that stuck in my mind, the what's the question, right? And so, yeah, if I'm Googling, I'm getting the million results, I'm probably asking the wrong question. If I ask the right question, I'll get 100 results, because it's, you know, it's 100 that actually really matter, right? And so that's a wonderful thing for us to kind of help. I think if we can get folks, again, to kind of come and show up at the library to kind of engage their local librarians a little bit, I think a lot of small businesses are going to have a lot more success because they have things that are available, and things are probably a little easier than maybe they were thinking about to be able to kind of tap into.
I think people are amazed when they realize the depth and breadth of what's truly available to them. And so much of it can be accessed remotely. So, you might come in to get the lay of the land. And then again, a lot of you could do right from your office. The other thing that always makes libraries, I think, popular is that we have good hours, that we're open till 9 o'clock most nights, and we're open on the weekends, where a lot of government, offices are closed. How do you try and go to a bank, when you need to, right? But we have Sunday hours, Saturday hours, those kinds of things that I think make it user-friendly. So we kind of keep it in perspective. You do see some people who say libraries, they're still around. On the other hand, pre-COVID in particular, a library like Porter Library is circulating over 1 million items a year. We're having several hundred thousand visits throughout the year of people coming and using the library for some reason or another. People don't necessarily, they think about library in terms of books or maybe videos or those kinds of things, but you can get your passport at the library. We have mobile hotspots. You're going on a trip, you can check out a mobile hotspot that'll connect up to 5 devices. So as you're screaming down I-70 to go take a nice vacation in Missouri, you can have everybody in the car hooked up to the Wi-Fi hotspot. We have so many more things that people really think about. And one of the my favorite things, I love giving tours. I love giving tours of the library. So, stop by the library, let me know. I'd be happy to show you around our building, show you what we have available, and connect you with some of our fantastic librarians and staff.
Why don't we have a bigger budget for promoting the library?
Well, we're doing okay. We're lucky because we have a PR and marketing person who does, helps us get out this fantastic newsletter, through the email blasts and different ways that we communicate that. So we do work constantly on getting the word out, and we're going to use some of our own tools, reference solutions, to get the word out even more and more creatively.
I think something else I want to encourage folks, you'd mentioned this too, it's coming to mind. As folks are kind of getting back out there, Andrew, I think we've all seen the local coffee shops and other places people kind of go hang out. Well, maybe you should go hang out at the library and have your virtual office be at the library. There are meeting rooms that are there. There are places people kind of can come in, they have a quiet place to kind of go through some stuff, to whether it be meetings or doing some research or just kind of, doing some work. If you don't have a place to go, you want to try and get out of the house. What a great place to kind of go and be around some people, but it's in a relatively quiet, calm place, right? And
relatively.
Versus kind of going to the coffee shop where you kind of squeeze in here, and there's all kinds of noise going on. It's a different vibe and atmosphere. Plus, you've got some great people there that are available. And so it's part of the community part of it. So I'd encourage folks to think about that too, as you're getting back out. Maybe spend it, if you're one of those people that spends a couple of days a week at the coffee shop, maybe spend one day a week at the library, or to your point, maybe spend the evening there. You just kind of see what's there and get a feel, because again, there's good opportunities happening there in different ways that I think folks are just missing out on. Really are.
It sure seems that way. Yeah. I've been to the library a few times through the decades, but I still have an outdated notion. I'm sure people of my generation certainly do. You did only books, and you had story times, and you had different things geared towards kids mostly. As adults, they, again, during my generation for sure, never looked at it as a resource like that in a large way. But it's tremendous. I mean, and what you're describing, it's modern, it's on mark. You got expertise there. The cost is right. It's a good look. Do you serve coffee, or do you got to buy it?
Well, we normally have a coffee shop. It isn't. It hasn't been open since the pandemic. So we're looking at as we start to gradually reopen, what kind of options we have for that. I think it's important to note that libraries are on the cutting edge of what's out there. And one of the areas we didn't really touch on, but is a trend in libraries that I think people are still kind of getting used to the idea, is this idea, it's called makerspace. And many of the libraries, I think most of the libraries in Northeast Ohio, have some type of version of a makerspace or the equipment. So makerspace is the equipment, knowledge, and programming to help create actual physical things. So a good example of that is 3D printers. We have a couple 3D printers here at Westlake Board Library where you can come in if you've got a smaller project. We can help you take, maybe you've got an idea in your head and you need to do a prototype of something that you've invented or that you want to manufacture. You can come in here and we can help you get a 3D printout of that, the, you know, whatever it is that you're wanting to do. And a lot of other libraries have other kinds of equipment that we're going to probably be spending the next several months working on building up. And that's things like vinyl cutters or etchers or engravers or different kinds of equipment that take the library from just accessing information or content to actually creating information and content.
Excellent. So that's for those of you out there, I know a lot of folks are big fans of things like Shark Tank, right? So a lot of those folks who are getting things maybe kind of started, it's a way, hey, way to do it relatively affordably, get that prototype, to have something physical in your hand, if that's what you're selling, to have that versus an idea, it makes all the difference in the world. And so that's I had no idea. I would never have thought to go to the library for something like that, Andrew. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's awesome. And again, to your point, Jack, I think most of us think about libraries, we think about just kind of books. Yeah, there are books and other resources there, but there's also a lot of, again, technology, as you were describing, like the hotspot, Andrew. It's the same thing too, in terms of, again, there's the libraries are at the forefront or the cutting edge of a lot of this technology stuff. So again, that's part of what they do. And so they kind of get in there just and see, again, I can't encourage folks enough to kind of start to check it out more, be purposeful about it and kind of getting in there. But again, don't be bashful either. Don't be bashful and know that you're going to have a nice nurturing librarian there that'll help you get to the right question, which is very, very important to be able to kind of do. So, all right. So Andrew, I appreciate your time today. You know, this is wonderful to get a chance to kind of speak with you. We really appreciate this. This is wonderful, wonderful information. For our listeners, thanks again for being part of our show. We have our show every week, Dirty Secrets of Small Business, and you can get it. We usually drop it every Thursday is when we have our new show, and you can subscribe to it at your favorite podcast device, whether it be iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it might be. You can subscribe to it. It'll come right to your smart device. If you don't use it that way, you can get it at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. We'll include links to a lot of things that Andrew mentioned here in terms of the Porter Library and different things there that will be included as part of the show notes for us today. So if you want to be able to kind of get those, you can do that. If you have comments or questions, please email us at radio@maximumvp.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. So, all right, that's our show for today. Thanks again all for listening. Again, Andrew, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Andrew. It was a pleasure.
Oh, same here. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
You bet. And thanks again for listening, folks. We'll be talking with you all next week.